chime on. breakfast. I reread them all.
You are tuned in to CJAM 99.1 FM and listening to Revolution Rock. Adam and Dave here, celebrating the life and work of Steve Albini. We went through a set there where we highlighted a number of albums he recorded with various bands. And I think the first set that we went through where we featured those artists he recorded with, we wanted to encapsulate the range of artists he worked with, maybe surprising people with some genres he mixed in with. This one, I think, is pretty much what people would expect when they hear Steve Albini's name and expect him to make some very loud, raucous rock. And we definitely heard that, especially with the ending song there from Thrush Hermit.
Yeah, we heard a song from their Great Pacific Ocean EP, which came out in 96. What did we hear? Every morning...
Every morning I reread the postcards.
Prior to that, we heard music from one of, if not the best, PJ Harvey record.
Mm-hmm.
Rid of Me.
From 1993, one of my favorites. What am I talking about? It is my favorite PJ Harvey record. It is such a well-mastered and recorded record that I think just married the perfect songwriting ability of Harvey with the perfect production values of Steve Albini. And he just spoke of her so glowingly. As we said before, he was a bit contrarian with a lot of artists he worked with. He would oftentimes deride and kind of, you know, make jabs at some of his he recorded, but never with PJ Harvey. He was utterly respectful and just talked reverently about how wonderful it was to work with her. And they collaborated greatly, as we heard on that song, 50 Foot Queenie, from, as you mentioned, 1993's Rid of Me.
Before that, we heard, well, another thing I'm going to say again, probably their best record. The Jesus Lizard, we heard something from Goat, originally released in 1991. We heard the great song Mouth Breather, which has a connection not only to being recorded by Steve Albini, but also in the lyrics.
Yeah, the song itself is a direct reference to Steve Albini talking about letting someone house sit for him and about how ruined the place was when he came back. And the line for the chorus of the song is a direct quote from him, apparently, where he says, "He's a nice guy, don't get me wrong, but he's a mouth breather." And, you know, it's such a Steve Albini thing to say. It was great, and it really, I think, encapsulated maybe the best song from Jesus Lizard.
Yeah,
I mean, it's so easy to say that, because there's so many great ones. But, yeah, one of my favorites for sure.
And the albums he did with Jesus Lizard, they're all very, very good.
All three of them are fantastic. I think, like, the core discography of that group, there's no getting past that. They were another great marriage in creatively hellacious music, I'll put it that way. Before that, we heard another really good relation he had with Kim Deal of the Breeders. Now, we'll talk about his relation with the Pixies in a moment, but with the Breeders, he was very welcome to work with Kim Deal because he really got along with her well. Apparently, while they were recording together the Pixies, a debut record, Surfer Rosa, he just got along with her swimmingly. They joked around all the time, and they had a lot of camaraderie. So when Kim Deal broke away from Pixies and said she wanted to work on her own project, he jumped at the chance to work with her and the rest of the band, and the rest is history. He recorded their debut record in 1990, which would be Pod, and we heard the track Fortunately Gone from that.
And then we started off with Pixies' Surfer Rosa, a highly influential classic album, influencing everyone from Nirvana to countless other bands.
Mm-hmm.
And Surfer Rosa has really great songs on there. And we heard the song Break My Body. You were going to tell a story about some of the comments he was making about the Pixies, maybe?
So basically, without, like, I'm just going to paraphrase, but he was very dismissive of the Pixies. He said they were, you know, like, working with children, they were untalented, and it was only excuse to make money. Years later, Steve Albini went back on his word, and he admitted, no, I was just chiding them. I was actually, you know, I was kind of in an angry space when I said those comments. And, you know, he went on to say, no, Pixies were a really good group. So I'm glad that he was able to reconcile that, especially because Surfer Rosa is an album that just sounds like nothing else. It's kind of fitting that it came out the same year as Daydream Nation by Sonic Youth, because it's a pair of great alternative rock records that sounded like nothing else that came before it, and just each had its own kind of sound in such a wonderful way. Just fantastic stuff from both groups. But yeah, Steve Albini made a name as a recorder with the Pixies on this record, and then he was in demand from there on end, and there would be a very famous band that would come a callin' not too much later, but we'll talk about that later on in the program.
Yeah.
We're going to be playing some more music from Steve Albini, from bands he was within, including his first group that Dave actually introduced me to. I had no idea they existed, a band called Just Ducky.
Yeah, and a little bit of information. A compilation came out in 2022, collecting a lot of bands from the Minnesota like underground punk scene, and there's two songs by Just Ducky. Before that, never heard before. And they did have a song on a really obscure compilation back in the early 80s, which is impossible to find now unless you actually have a copy. But we're going to hear one of these live tracks called New Metro Stomp. We're also going to hear a track from the title track from Big Black's 1984 EP Racer X. And then we're going to hear a song from what not a lot of people know about, the actual second album by Shellac, which is called The Futurist.
This is interesting because it was a limited run record, and so they only made a couple hundred copies that they gave out to friends and people who attended shows, and it's an experimental release, and it never got wide distribution, which is why so many people have never heard of it.
You can find it online now, which is how I was able to acquire this, I believe a song or two actually would wind up on their official commercially released second full-length album, which we're going to hear something. We already heard something.
Yeah, we did hear something from that. We heard something from at Action Park.
And there's just like different movements. They don't actually have titles. And another interesting fact, the actual album cover has the listing of 700, I believe, close to 800 people's names that the album was made and given to. And then there's a blank space at the end, so you can write your name in if you feel bad. and we're able to get a copy. Now, since this record was never reissued and the members of the band said we're never going to do that, it goes for a pretty hefty sum online. Back in the day, around $500. But now, last I checked, about $1,300 or more.
Ooh, okay.
So, yeah. So we're going to hear a track from this expensive record in this set.
Nothing but high taste here on Revolution Rock.
We should get a couple quotes in. I want to say some more Steve Albini quotes.
You know what? I want to say we've been very serious focusing on his career, but Steve Albini was never one that took himself too seriously. He always had a sense of levity, and he also was a foodie, as you mentioned. And I'd like to hear his quote about toast.
Okay. I don't know where this is from, but I'm going to read it. Okay. Toast is bread, made delicious and useful. Untoasted bread is okay for children's sandwiches and sopping up barbecue sauce, but for pretty much all other uses, toast is better than bread. An exception is when the bread is fresh from the oven, piping hot, with melting butter all over it. Then it's fantastic. But I would argue that bread fresh out of the oven is a kind of toast because I'm an a-hole and I refuse to be wrong about something. there's a little bit of a sense of humor. And then there's another quote here about compression. A lot of people use compression in recording, and he definitely has used it, I think. You can hear
but
it.
But sparingly. You know, that's one thing I didn't mention when we were talking about the recording process with Pixies and Breeders and PJ Harvey, where there's hardly any compression, despite how loud the record gets. And this quote, I think, encapsulates it.
And I think, for the most part, in the places that he does use it, it's on the drums. Generally, you do that when you're recording and mixing. Anyways, this quote, also, I'm not sure where it's from, but I found it on a list of quotes from a recent post on thebaffler.com. I want to find the guy that invented compression and tear his liver out. I hate it. Makes everything sound like a beer commercial. So with that note, we're going to start with his very first band, Just Ducky. And this comes from a compilation album that is called Without Warning, which is now sold out, but you can find it online via Bang to Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM. And this is Steve Albini's very first band when he was still in high school. And then in the next break, we should mention how he never used a proper guitar strap.
Oh, we'll definitely get to that.
Do us a favor. Turn off the disco light, please. I don't know who's doing that, but it bugs me. That is just... Really, I don't know who's got the knob, but turn that light off, really.
Right! Deprogram. The audience went wild.
All right, this is an original. It was written by our guitarist. It's called The New Metro Stomp.
White X on the top. tune nips. Razor X on attack. Okay.